If there is social unrest next week, there is insurance. I'm David Brancaccio. Ahead of what might or might not turn out to be a fraught election process, businesses are buying costly social unrest insurance. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here.
Right, David. Many businesses are considering the cost of going without insurance coverage for potential violence far more costly than paying rising premiums to get insured. According to the Insurance Information Institute, the cost of damages from protests and violence in some 20 states in May and June following the police killing of George Floyd in Minnesota was more than $1 billion, and that's the insured losses. Now, businesses are buying special coverage ahead of the election because increasingly standard business insurance policies are no longer covering damages caused by civil unrest.
Which businesses are buying especially?
It's street front retailers, pharmacies, grocery and liquor stores. Insurers believe high-end retail brands are vulnerable. These businesses are paying double-digit premium hikes to get insured, but they're doing it because there is so much concern, as we know, about the results of next week's election, how long it might take to get those results, and the potential for violence. Dan Coats, the former director of national intelligence, expressed similar concerns yesterday in an interview with CBS News. And another example of that concern, David, Walmart, the nation's largest retailer, is removing firearms displays from its stores for the time being. The company cited recent civil unrest and said it was a precautionary measure for the safety of its workers and customers.
Marketplace's Nova Safo, thank you. The fossil fuel giant ExxonMobil is cutting 15% of its global workforce in the U.S. It's 1,900 jobs, part of a reorganization. The pandemic has depressed demand for energy, with oil hovering at around a moderately low $40 a barrel this fall, Marketplace's Justin Ho reports.
Just to get oil prices up to where they are now, oil producers had to cut back, says Sarah Ladislaw at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
It was really the entire industry putting the brakes on for a period of time.
Demand for oil has come back a bit, but it's still low because of the pandemic. People aren't driving as much as they used to, or flying. Jet fuel consumption has been nearly cut in half. Ladislaw says demand is likely to stay low for a while.
Most forecasts think we won't get back to where we were in 2019, maybe at the end of 2021 or even 2022.
As a result, oil company layoffs will likely continue, says energy economist Philip Verleger. Some companies, he says, will have trouble borrowing money.
Bankruptcy totals just keep going up as these companies can't borrow and lose their cash flow.
The Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City reports that in order to be profitable, oil companies say they need crude prices to rise to roughly $50 a barrel. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
At the start of this last trading day of the month, stock prices are generally down. The Dow future is down 1%, 253 points. The NASDAQ future is down 1.2%.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The market for voting machines is big, but not huge, generating an estimated $300 million in revenues a year. But can we just stipulate it's a very important market? Among the big players, Election Systems and Software, ESNS, and Hart InterCivic. One more recent entrant is a San Francisco-based outfit called Voting Works, a nonprofit that uses open-source software. One of its big projects this election cycle, its vote auditing system that states can use to do routine checks after Election Day to give confidence the count was up to snuff. I spoke to Voting Works executive director Ben Adida.
You don't want that auditing process, ideally, to require hand counting all the ballots, because that would take many, many weeks, and it's extremely difficult to do that with a low error rate. So instead, what a risk-limiting audit does is it selects a sample of the ballots, a small subset of the ballots, and it does so using a rigorous statistical approach. And then that small subset is hand counted, taking all the time you need, 30 seconds, maybe a minute per ballot if you need to. And it can be done in the public eye with a bipartisan group of people looking at that ballot.
You do these streamlined audits of ballots not because you suspect a problem, but as a best practice, the way you try to keep your teeth cleaned.
It's the flossing of elections. You know, you should probably do it. You know, you don't floss because there's a real problem. You floss because it's the right hygienic thing to do in the long term.
5 states will do these quality control audits in this election cycle, 4 with Adidas outfit. Beyond the software, his company tries to use standardized off-the-shelf electronic components to build voting systems. His hope is to make voting infrastructure cheaper so states and towns can more easily upgrade with so much voting gear approaching 20 years old.
We think that the high cost of these machines leads to states being unable to upgrade as often as they should and want to, and it leads to security issues, reliability issues, and whatnot. So for us, affordable voting machines is really a core issue of democracy.
I mean, you think this issue of aging machines is going to be a pressing issue this Tuesday?
I think it could be, absolutely. I think we are helped by the fact that most of these states have moved to paper ballots. So even if there are breakdowns and slowdowns, you know, you still have the paper to go back to. But absolutely, I think in some counties, you're going to see some aging machines that are problematic. I don't think it's going to be a massive disaster around that topic, but you'll probably hear some stories about it.
But at some level, you're thinking that if we wanted to prioritize what we worry about going into Election Day, about the system of voting, voting machines, you know, breaking down or getting jammed or miscounting, is not actually your top worry?
That's right. It's not my top worry this year. The reason it's not my top worry is, one, because we've moved to a lot of vote by mail that's on paper. But if you stack rank all the things that could go wrong this year, I think the one I'm most worried about is disinformation causing folks to lose trust in the electoral process itself.
Ben Adida, executive director of the nonprofit voting system company Voting Works, based near San Francisco. The Business of Voting, a closer look at election infrastructure here in 2020 is the series. We also talked to an MIT expert on the history of voting technology, marketplace.org, if you miss it on the air today. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Alex Schroeder. Our engineers are Brian Allison and Jay Siebold. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.